Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This week that's coming up, beginning next Sunday, as Mike mentioned, is Holy Week, and we'll be looking at John's perspective on this. We'll be looking at John's gospel beginning next Sunday morning. We'll look at what he says about the cross before he goes there. And then Monday through Friday, you can see, I think, from your insert that we're looking at the upper room discourse. Those last words, that last sermon that Jesus gave his disciples before he went to the cross for them, which, of course, we'll remember on that Friday. And then, of course, the wonderful services on Sunday morning, as Mike has mentioned, a wonderful time for us to invite our friends, especially those who are not connected with some church at this time. Well, let's look at our text this morning, building on our studies in Mark over these past weeks together. There was a study done some time ago that revealed that 97% of American people have a positive view of Jesus Christ. On one hand, that sounds very encouraging. But then when you get to know some of those 300 million people who say they have a positive view of Jesus Christ, you understand that many of them have a positive view of Jesus Christ because they really don't know him very well. And in the lack of their knowledge of him, they have imported certain things that they hope he is, certain things they hope he believes and hope he teaches, and they imagine that that is who he is and what he teaches and what he does, and therefore they have a high regard for him. But as time goes on, many of those people find later on, well, they don't like Jesus so much. And they would be perfectly consistent with others through the ages who have met him. And when you look at Jesus in his own lifetime, he's constantly getting people upset. And there are many people who would like him, but he says things like this, that if you divorce a woman except for sexual immorality, you have committed adultery. Whoops, there goes some of that crowd. He says to them that the only ones who know the Father are the ones the Son reveals to him. The only one who knows the Son is the ones that the Father reveals to them. And some, we find in John 6, leave over that issue. They don't like his predestinarian perspective on life. With some, he says that unless you believe in the Son of God, the wrath of God continues to abide on you. And some people really don't like that. And then he says to others, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And much of the religious community really doesn't like that. And so as time goes on, so many of those who would have a very positive view of Jesus Christ end up not having such a positive view after all. Either that, or they might say, well, that's just that community over there that doesn't really know him and is perverting the historical Jesus. But it's the Jesus of the Scriptures with whom we must deal, because that is the Jesus who is. And we see it in Jesus' day, and we're going to see two groups in particular who would have wanted to like him and respect him, but were having real trouble. One's his family, and the other is the broader religious community. And if you followed Jesus for any amount of time, you've noticed some of the same sort of problems. And this should be very helpful for us. We're going to notice what Jesus' family thought about him. We're going to see what the broader religious community thought about him. And then in verses 31 through 35, we'll see what Jesus thinks about you. First of all, if you'll look at verses 20 and 21, we'll see what Jesus' family thinks about him. And here's what they think. Jesus' family thinks he's crazy. Now, who is Jesus' family? Well, you see it here. His mother is still living, Mary. His father appears to have deceased because he's not mentioned since Jesus was 12 years of age. So we assume, most scholars assume, that Joseph is no longer living. But Jesus has siblings. He has at least three brothers that are mentioned in Mark chapter 6, verse 3. And it seems that he has sisters as well. He has several siblings, and Jesus is the older brother. So we can just imagine what family life would have been like. Many scholars have attempted to guess what Jesus' personality was like, and that's very difficult to do because most of our human personalities are shaped by sin and redemption, and Jesus was neither a sinner nor was he redeemed. And so it's very difficult to kind of plug him into a personality category. But don't you think it would be fair to estimate that Jesus, as a young adult, as well as a teenager, would have been a meek man? We are told of him that he was meek. He became the Prince of Peace. He certainly was a very compassionate young man. And the family would have known him probably as a very tender-hearted, loving, caring older brother. And it seems as though Jesus only spoke when there were true and helpful words that needed to be spoken. So I'm only guessing, but I would imagine he was a man of chosen words, not just a few words, but carefully chosen words. And I'm quite confident his family would have known him as such. But now what are they seeing? Jesus has a lot of words, and his words are getting him into a lot of trouble. And Jesus, wherever he goes, seems to be inspiring opposition from those who are in the power group. Jesus was a poor man, and when you're a poor man, the less attention you get from some of the power group, the better. Jesus was drawing a lot of attention from the military power, political power, and religious power groups. And it was making his family very nervous. They noticed something else about Jesus. There seemed to be a change in the way that he was living his life. He used to be a relatively quiet man, and now he's doing a lot of teaching and saying a lot of really radical things. And you know, it's a good thing to believe the Bible, and it's a good thing to live a clean life, and it's a good thing to be good to your neighbor, but you know, you could just take this thing too far where people don't understand. And then we look here in verse 20, Jesus didn't even have time to eat. And his mother loved him. And she wanted the boy to eat. You know how it is when you visit your mama. I want to give you some food and fatten you up a little bit. Even though you're way overweight, she still says it. And here her son is not eating. And we know from Luke's account that before he called his disciples, the story we have in Mark 3 verses 13 through 19, Jesus spent all night in prayer, so he's not getting sleep either. And furthermore, Jesus is swarmed by people, and he can't get away. He can't get some rest. He can't seem to vacate. And they didn't have the same psychological categories we have, but I could only assume that what Mary thought was happening to her son was something akin to a psychotic break, a break with reality. And you know, his daddy was in charge of the family, and now it appears that he's dead, and now Jesus is the oldest brother, and he's trying to have this public ministry. Maybe he's worrying too much about his family and the brothers, and just a lot of pressure on my oldest son. And it seems as though he snapped. Or she may have thought something similar. I'm sure they had similar symptoms in their day to what we would call bipolar depression. Jesus was under a lot of pressure. And that sometimes leads to depression. And some types of depression are bipolar. That is what we used to call manic depressive. The person would go into a manic phase and then crash into a depressive phase. And praise the Lord, we've discovered lithium. And you know if you're manic depressive, if you don't take your lithium, you're in trouble. And the family may have thought that he had some disease akin to that. Now, why? Well, they thought this because of his patterns, of his lifestyle patterns. And because if you'll look earlier, he's violating some deeply held customs that Jesus' family would have cherished. For example, the Sabbath. He challenged the Sabbath. And then wherever he goes, it seems as though there's this enormous response from the underworld, the demonic world. Something really off is happening. So Mary, apparently not having her husband, she gathers her three other sons and she says, we've got to go get him out of that crowd and get him home and get him well. That's what Jesus' family thought about him. Now we know the real reason they thought that. It's the real reason sometimes your families don't understand you. And John tells us in the 7th chapter and 5th verse of his gospel, where he says that Jesus' brothers didn't believe. They didn't believe. Didn't believe what? They didn't believe who Jesus was. They didn't believe what he came to do. They didn't believe that we were sinners that, who were without hope except for a Messiah who dies for us on a cross and is raised on the third day. They didn't believe that. Now, some of you have families that don't understand you. And to be honest, I don't understand some of you either. Sometimes we are just a little weird, and you know, families shouldn't be expected to understand us. My family shouldn't be expected to understand me. I told my children when they were in junior high, these are going to be the greatest days of our relationship ever because we're going to be thinking alike. When you get out of junior high, you'll be way ahead of me and you will no longer understand me because that's where my mind got stuck. It was around 11, 12 years old. So sometimes our families don't understand us, but I know some of you are not understood because your family doesn't believe. And I want you to notice that they will never understand you. Not if you're walking with Jesus. Because where he takes us is into a very radical place, which looks to everyone else as though you have lost your mind. When you adopt, as college students, a sexual spirituality that is consistent with the Bible, your fraternity friends and sorority friends will think you've lost your mind. When you're offered a business deal that's just slightly unethical and you decide not to participate, you will be thought to be a coward who doesn't know how to manage risks, to risk a little bit to gain a lot and become successful in this world. Some of you who are generous givers have made your families wonder at you why you would give away so much of the possessions, some of which your parents gave to you. They don't understand. They don't understand you because they don't believe in what you believe. I have a friend who was struggling with his family who just did not understand him at all because he was following Jesus Christ. And he went to a big family gathering, and it seemed that nobody there understood him. And he said he went upstairs and just got into one of the little bathrooms up there and closed the door and just sobbed like a baby. And he said it was as though the Lord told him, "My son, I have a family for you, and it's not this family." And some of you need to realize that, that your family, the closest friends you have in this life and had in your old life, may not understand you. They didn't Jesus. If someone thinks you're crazy, let me just tell you something. It's a contagious disease and you get it from Jesus. Now, secondly, look at verse 22 through verse 30. And we'll see what the broader religious community thinks of Jesus and therefore what they think of you. This would be the interfaith community. Notice, first of all, the scribes in verse 22 are coming down out of Jerusalem, going all the way up north to Galilee. Why? Well, we know from other historical documents that when there were heresies or apostasy, the scribes would hear about it and they would be deployed to go check it out and listen to the teacher and see if indeed he was orthodox or heterodox. And if he was heterodox, to make a clear statement about it and sometimes to issue sanctions against him. And if there were whole villages that were in agreement with that apostate teacher, they may put a whole ban on that village. So these scribes came to Capernaum to find out if Capernaum was in rebellion against the religious nation of Israel and to see if Jesus was teaching heresy. That's what they came to find out. Now, these were men who professed to believe the Bible, who believed in right rather than wrong, who claimed to love God and had spiritual disciplines in their lives. They are the good guys. And when they come to hear Jesus and see him, think about what they observed. They observed these gracious words of truth. And they saw him cast out demonic spirits out of people and deliver them into the freedom of true human existence. And they saw him heal the sick and give sight to the blind. And they saw him lovingly care for the poor, not only the rich. That's what they observed. And here's their conclusion. He himself is possessed by demons. And the power that he uses to cast out demons is the power of none other than Satan himself. You say, how in the world could that happen? How could anybody in their right mind come to that conclusion? We had some similar words to that effect in our anthem this morning. The choir sang, they said, why? What has my Lord done to cause this rage and spite? He made the lame to run. He gave the blind their sight. Who would think of such a thing? I tell you who. Those who don't believe, who hear the word, it threatens their current worldly position, and they refuse to repent. And ladies and gentlemen, when you refuse to repent, when you've heard the word of God, it is amazing what will happen in your mind and come out of your mouth. And it's amazing what you will do with your hands and feet when you refuse to repent. And some of you may be in that state this morning. You've heard the gospel over and over again, and you refuse to repent. And you say, I have a generally positive view of Jesus. I belong to the interfaith, interreligious community. Look how the interreligious community relates to the real Jesus. They claim that he is the essence of evil. Some of you have read the so-called new atheists. There's nothing new about their perspective with the old atheists. Here's what's new. The reason they're called new atheists is that